Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Wednesday afternoon. I have to double check because you're in the building. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for being here on this wonderful Wednesday, a wrestling Wednesday. Maybe if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you're wrestling with the idea of Shane Waldron as your offensive coordinator.
Really bad.
Warren Sharp tweeted out, "Oh my God, I'm dying. Jackson Smith and Jigbo warned us, but I had no idea it would look this bad." And then he features the next-gen stats tracking charts of Jackson Smith and Jigbo with Shane Waldron as his coordinator and the lack of routes and the lack of progression that he showed. And then they followed it with JSN after Waldron, where he had every route variation, every tree, every opportunity in the middle, over the outside, going up the field, and then they did the same thing with DJ Moore before the addition of Shane Waldron, where he has routes everywhere, and then he has almost none and no variety with Shane Waldron, which leads you to believe that the culprit in all of this, the lack of explosives or lack of consistency among quarterbacks and wide receivers, might actually be tied to a coordinator that doesn't take advantage of the tools at his disposal.
I'm looking at this, and right now I think I've got 15 different concepts that Jackson Smith and Jigba has run this year, and he's taking one game samples from each guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just a random draw, pull it out, let's see what we have here. 16 different route stems from Jackson Smith and Jigba under Ryan Grubb. Last year, the one game sample that he had with Shane Waldron, he had four. Okay, in a game against the San Francisco 49ers a year ago. You go to DJ Moore, where he had last year a one game sample against Atlanta, 15 different route stems that he ran on. Random draw this year, DJ Moore, 5. That to me, or excuse me, Don't want to shortchange him. Six. I don't want to, like, you don't want to overreact to one sample size, but this has been the long-growing frustration that Seattle fans had. We saw it media row for the Super Bowl. Remember Jackson Smith and Jigba with the, is this live? When he was asked about Shane Waldron, and he's like, and they're like, no, we can get this out. He's like, yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
This is exactly what he was talking about, is that it is simplified to a point where they are predictable. Mm-hmm. And simplification of offense is really important. Because
streamlining.
If you can simplify, and I think this is like what Ryan Grubb does a really good job with, and he's doing it in the NFL now, but he did at UW last year, is that you can give essentially the same look in a variation of ways, mm-hmm. right? It's the same concept. You're getting guys to the same points on the field, but you use formations, you use motion mm-hmm. to make it look different.
The window
dressing. And you will have different guys get to different spots based on their alignment, but they're still getting to the same levels, and you're attacking the defense the exact same way, but it looks wildly different.
You're making them think about it. It's
in the adjustment. This is not what Waldron does, is not that at all.
It's the simplification while still being complicated. It's almost an oxymoron or a paradox, in a sense of like, you're trying to make something. Well, who was the, we had a coach the other day who had a clip post game. It was a couple weeks ago. I can't remember who it was, who basically said, you know, we make things simple, but it was the Blizzard context.
Yeah.
You know,
it's Penn State.
Yeah. The Penn State's OC was basically said, you know,
it's vanilla ice cream.
It's vanilla ice cream. But it's how you mix it. It's how mm-hmm. you present it. You know, it looks like you did all this stuff, but you didn't.
But there are times where you simplify to the point of predictability, and mm-hmm. that's what Shane Waldron's offense is. And you're seeing the results of that. Yeah. And look at, I mean, Geno Smith has had a resurgence in Seattle mm-hmm. before this year.
Yes.
I mean, with Shane Waldron. Now you're seeing a monumental leap with Ryan Grubb. And there is a reason why. Coaching matters. Mm-hmm. And Caleb Williams will be stuck. And I can't believe Matt Eberflus went to Shane Waldron and was like, yep, that's the guy we want. Because I understand why he settled on him, because I think it was bright young offensive minds aren't going to be going to a lame duck coach mm-hmm. who's you could be fired. So he probably, it was a last resort. But this is also the idea that for Matt Eberflus, he's not going to hire a guy who's probably going to take his job yeah. if he is really good with the offense. But it was the biggest miss this offseason. Because look, Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, look at how different that looks.
Firing on every cylinder.
And for Cliff Kingsbury's faults as a head coach, he is so damn good. He is so damn good as a play caller and a schemer on the offensive side of the ball.
It's interesting to see where this is, because there are times when Caleb Williams looks really good, and there's times when he looks absolutely awful. And it's hard to attribute what part of that is the rookie growing pains, what part of that is the play calling, what part of that is the weekly prep.
Doo-doo offensive line.
An offensive line that's getting him killed. Did you see the clip of him basically nailed to the ground in the pocket? There was a couple plays this past weekend where there's been some criticism about him bailing out of the pocket too soon. He basically looks like somebody stapled him mm-hmm. to the ground, including the touchdown throw, which was a great play. But he was like, okay, let me show you what it looks like. I will stand here in the pocket. You don't want me getting out of it? Fine. I will stand here and deliver throws. And he did. And then he also delivered sacks, because like, you know, there's that trade-off. And I'm like, this doesn't look like an offense that's setting him up for success.
Nah, bro.
So it's great. We talked about this coming into the season. It's great that they got him all those weapons.
Yeah.
Now, Keenan Allen might be broken. I think we're kind of learning that might be the case. But Odunze's starting to figure it out. He's building his relationship with DJ Moore. Cole Kmet is becoming a safety blanket. But there's a lot of other things that are going on here where you're going, this doesn't look great, Bob.
Yeah.
So, keying off of this, There's a big deep dive that was done on Stephon Diggs's time in the Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills and his exit there that I want to use to set up the framework for this. Are we at an inflection point in the NFL where, as great as wide receivers are we getting to a point where it's more about the collective than the individual and what they can do anymore? We'll get to that here. Commitment Extra on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On ESPN.com right now from Jeremy Fowler, inside the Stephon Diggs Buffalo Bills divorce. And was it 2 weeks ago, Josh Allen had to walk back his comments on how he said that, you know, we're just spreading the ball around. And
he didn't have to, but he did, and I don't think he needed to.
No, because everybody knew what he meant, and everybody knew what Stephon Diggs was.
Yep.
There's nothing really, I don't want to downplay Fowler's article here, because it's very well sourced, and it's got a lot of detail in it, but I don't think there's anything in here that's new or pressing. You're like, oh, you're shocked by it. It's like, Stephon Diggs, mildly problematic, raised, you know, some bright yellow, probably not red flags, just, you know, normal diva wide receiver
Stephon
stuff.
Diggs? No, he's a red flag guy.
Okay.
Red flag guy in Minnesota, red flag guy in Buffalo.
I'm talking
the
about
the way
like,
he left the playoff game. Remember when they lost to Kansas City and then he came back and he threw a fit like week one of last year?
I'm taking like not necessarily in the sense of Rashi Rice. You know, we aren't getting in or, you know,
he's not
Henry Ruggs. Or,
not criminally red flag, but a not a good teammate.
No. And well, here's the interesting thing is, if you want to push back on that, is that there was a bunch of reporting in here from his teammates saying that they liked him.
Yeah.
And they loved him. And he's not a poor worker. Like, he's a maniacal worker. So that part of it's all really interesting. But what I think a lot of this shows is something I think that, number one, the Chiefs have shown us over the last couple of years, but a potential shift and pivot in the NFL. It's becoming more about spreading the ball around and getting everyone involved and taking what's there. And we talked about this last week and kind of the idea of at least a generalization of the return of the West Coast offense, a lot of checkdowns and you know, taking what's there, whether it's the running back, whether it's the tight end over the middle, a lot more middle routes being more about what's in game plans as opposed to being able to drive the ball because of two high safeties and teams forcing their opponents to drive and do 12, 15 play drives to score. And I almost wonder the teams that are looking at, I don't want to give them any credit here because they're notoriously cheap and I hate them for it, in the Cincinnati Bengals. Are they looking around and seeing everybody pay, or the teams that paid $30+ million for their wide receivers and going, Jamar Chase is worth that, but is the game changing to the point where it's doesn't behoove us to do that anymore. And it's better to have the stable than it is to have the one prize racehorse.
Okay. Which guys would be of those? And this is my whole thing about the receiver market is, all right, which guys of the $30 million club are not performing? Because they are Justin Jefferson, mm-hmm. which that team's not 4-0 without him.
Nope.
You have Amon-Ra St. Brown, which if you watch Monday Night Football,
he's really good.
Freak of nature. Who else is in there? Tyreek Hill, which can turn a game on its head, right?
Mm-hmm.
He literally just does not have a quarterback mm-hmm. right now. And then I think you have the other guys, right? Well, AJ Brown, who's hurt right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what are people saying about Philly and the turnover woes with Jalen Hurts? Well, get AJ Brown back and this offense looks different.
Yeah. It opens right? things up for them drastically.
All right. CeeDee Lamb, at the time, I was like, not that guy. He's a really damn good mm-hmm. receiver. He's really good. But they got their flaws, right?
Yeah. But again,
and then
I think that's the last the one line. Is
Brandon Ayuk,
mm-hmm.
which he has not lived up to no. that at all this year.
No, and I think so CeeDee Lamb is the line.
We're looking at two of the five right now,
mm-hmm.
or you're looking at it going, mm-mm, no. But three of them, they are that. Mm-hmm. And they are the reason why their offense hums and they take. There's very few of them in the NFL that deserve it, and that's the point. It's probably
it's probably Chase and Jefferson.
It's probably like five guys total, though. Yeah. If five guys total that deserve that. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of those guys.
Okay.
Right? I do. I think Tyreek Hill is one of those guys. But I think, like, you're talking about, like, Ja'Marr Chase mm-hmm. is one of those. So we're up to, like, four right now. The way Nico Collins is playing right now, Nico Collins is probably the fifth guy in that. That is one of those.
Leading the NFL in yards right now.
Turns the game upside down and anytime C.J. Stroud is in trouble, you know where the ball's going, and he comes up with that play.
And it's not Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. There's only like a handful of them that are worth it. But when you have one of those guys that is worth it, yeah, you go ahead and you pay that freight. Some teams are going to pay the freight to guys that aren't
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, which is the wild part about Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco, mm-hmm. right? But I think that, like, Stephon Diggs, to the point that you're making is, yeah, if he's not one of those dudes, if he's not that dude, and that line, it's a shaky line because at times in games and in stretches, Stephon Diggs looks like that. But consistency and truly the attention that the gravity that a player has at receiver, there's only a handful of them that deserve that. But I think that Buffalo is going to be one of those things that people look at and they say, see, Green Bay has done this as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole of our parts can be just as effective if we don't have a Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson or Nico Collins, right?
And that's the thing is, I think when you take a look at where all this stuff is at, and I don't think we're wholly there yet, but the Bills in particular, who's their best option?
The Bills?
Yeah.
Right now? Well, Shakir.
Yeah, he's been their go-to guy.
He's been really good.
Keon Coleman really had that drop. You know, it was, come on, Keon, you had to hold on that one.
Man, drops happen.
They happen. But with the exception of the game against the Ravens, they have been a team that is just firing on all cylinders. In a big part of that, and it's something that is highlighted in the article, is the shift that they had offensively from running the ball less than 25 times a game to basically 30 plus times a game. I believe over the stretch when they actually made the change, they ran it 35 times a game over their final six when they won 5 of 6 last year before moving on from Diggs. And it's such a drastic shift. We're seeing a former MVP in Lamar Jackson take a back seat to Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're trying to do there. You look at what the Chiefs have done for years. It does, and this is again speaks to the greatness of Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. But what they're doing is they are sliding in whoever they can
mm-hmm.
and still being productive.
Yep.
And they're not paying 30-plus million. Granted, having your best receiving option historically and Travis Kelce only making $14 million certainly makes this a lot easier, mm-hmm. just ever so slightly. But you just take a look around the NFL right now. And the style that is most prominent in winning right now, I would argue, is going more traditional, more well-rounded, as opposed to force-fed wide receivers.
That's always been the case. But when you get that guy, and you, all right, you mentioned Kansas City, right? Mm-hmm. They have the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty good thing to have, mm-hmm. you know, and we've seen historically, if you have the best quarterback in the NFL, he's going to be one of the highest paid players in the NFL, and you're not going to be able to afford one of those guys, right? You looked at when New England's offense was the best it ever was with Tom Brady, who did they have?
Mm-hmm.
Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
When Kansas City's offense and Patrick Mahomes was the best he's ever been, they had Tyreek Hill.
Sure.
Right? Like, and you mm-hmm. see these, you see Green Bay, right? When they had Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Right, their offense was humming and it was different. So those guys, they do make a monumental change. But balance has always been the key to winning. Like running the football has always been a staple of a championship team in the NFL. Tom Brady's best years were when they ran the football best. It wasn't in 2007 when their offense was out of this world, but they lost the Super Bowl in 18-1. Right. Like, it's crazy to think about, but when you run the ball,
the days of Corey Dillon,
you have balance, you're going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's, and also great tight end play also is a big factor, which is wild that Travis Kelce is so underpaid.
The other thing about this, and we've talked about this a lot over the last 2 years, is the wide receivers that are coming into the NFL right now. Look at what could potentially be coming in a couple of years in Ryan Williams, the 17-year-old wide receiver mm-hmm. from Alabama. I didn't get to talk about that game because, you know, back today. Is he the best wide receiver prospect we may have ever seen already? Just doing what he's doing at 17 years old at one of the best programs in the history of the sport?
Yeah, no. I mean, sure, if you want to get hyperbolic about it, you could say that, but so is Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. He's doing freaky, twitchy stuff, too. I mean, we go back and we look at Randy Moss. Was that at Marshall? Like, we've seen these guys before, and they are outliers.
It's becoming more prevalent, though, I think. Look at Travis Hunter. I mean, you're just seeing these guys that are just...
Dude, yeah. But I also remember Julio Jones' freshman year at Alabama, where everybody's like, we've never seen this before. Right. I mean,
especially with that size, too. You know,
Yeah. I don't think it's becoming more prevalent. I think as a whole, the receiver position is better than it's ever been. And you do have freshmen that are ready to play and play early in their careers. But those outliers have always been there. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the outlier where you just go, oh, my God, who is that? Like, what is he doing?
It feels like we're seeing so many of these guys that are younger be truly transcendent, and those guys are making it to the NFL.
I think that is because we hear about them before now.
That's
too.
True. Yeah, we are getting more insight into these guys when they're younger.
Yeah, and there's more hype around them entering college because I mean it's like they're just like 15 years behind the NBA,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it was like always like, oh gosh, you know, this guy's unbelievable on the AAU circuit. He's unbelievable in high school, like. College football is like 15 years behind that because of the pervasiveness of the 7-on-7 culture. And now we see these guys
kind of mimics AAU.
Star rankings. Yeah. It's 100% exactly what that is.
A great text on the Vancouver Four text line. I like this kind of at least framing of it. In a five wide receiver room and grading each one out of 10, probably better to have 2 7s and 3 6s than 1 10 and 4 4s.
So
it costs the team the same. And I think it's easier to get the quote-unquote 7 out of 10 wide receiver now than it was 15, 20 years ago. I think there's the prevalence of like really – okay, there's Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. Those two guys to me are the two best wide receivers mm-hmm. in the NFL full stop. You can say that plenty of other guys, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Tyreek Hill, like squeaking away, whatever you want to say. But if I'm making dividing line, those guys are the tier one, no BS, no equivocations. Mm-hmm. Those are the dudes. That next group, there's certainly a limited amount of them. But the group after that, basically the guys outside of the top 10, it feels like there are so many guys that you could slot in from 11 through 30.
And that's why teams are going, you know what? We'll get 110, 17, okay, and then 3/4. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's what Minnesota's doing right now, right?
You're not wrong. I mean Jordan Addison is a hell of a wide receiver.
Yeah. But if you have that 110, mm-hmm. this is the San Francisco 49ers, right? Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, mm-hmm. they get more yards because all of the attention is on
Christian McCaffrey. Fourth in yards right now.
Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. Everybody else in that, those are three tens that San Francisco has, right? And so that's the thing, is like if you get a 10 and you pair him with a 7 and then, you know, your 3/4 of that five receiver room, that's what teams want, right? But if you have the 10, you don't want to let him go because all of the attention will go to the 10 and then the 7 all of a sudden skyrockets or does what Juwan Jennings is doing right now and Brandon Ayuk did last year. And so that's kind of the line of thinking that the franchises have in building that receiver room out. But I agree with it, though. To have 2 7s, 3 6s, it's better than 1 10 and 4 4s. Yeah, absolutely it is. But Bengals, you have a 10 in Ja'Marr Chase. You have a 7 in T. Higgins, right? That's where they thrive.
Yeah, and that was the thing. When they were missing the 7, mm-hmm. that's when they end up losing games.
Yeah. And right, you look at Tyreek Hill in Miami. Tyreek Hill is your 10. Jalen Waddle is your 7 right now. But it's pretty good, and there's a line of correlation. Right now, CeeDee Lamb has no 7 around him. Brandon Cooks hurt.
Yeah, and it's interesting enough, the Cowboys came out and said that they are a team that's not interested in Davante Adams.
Yeah, can't afford it now.
Well, no, but it's still... The timing of that is just,
yeah.
Mwah.
Yeah.
No, they can't afford Micah Parsons either, so there's that.
Wrong.
Oh, you know what we can't afford? We can afford one Jeff Rust, who's got a Sports Center update. Come up here, Danny and Dusty, Danny and Finn. Perhaps fitting music for you, though.
I don't want to hear it. Actually, I do. Everybody can take their victory laps.
There
now.
You go. The Let's Houston go. Astros have fallen to the Detroit Tigers 5-2. The hottest team in baseball stays hot as the Detroit Tigers win 5-2 and take the AL wild card slot number one over the Houston Astros.
Yeah. This team, the Detroit Tigers, how about Detroit right now? Or the state of Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
National champs in football, Lions really good, mm-hmm. Tigers, here they come.
They're becoming the new England.
Times are good in Michigan. Well, let's not go that far. They still have the Pistons.
Yeah.
Now everybody can dance on the grave of the Houston Astros. And, yeah, get your victory laps in.
And the World Series will not be in Texas. For the first time in 3 years.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, it's been in Texas for the last 3 years.
And first time the Astros have missed the ALCS since 2016.
Oh, I hate to see it.
Yeah.
Hate to see it.
It's a long time.
Guys, they've been really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a great run. That's okay. Everybody can take their shots, and that's fine. But hats off to Detroit, man. They've got, obviously... Tarik Skubal is unbelievable.
I mean, he was disgusting yesterday.
And he was the ace. But here they are today, and this is where they have just that team of worker bees, right? Where if Skubal is your queen, they got the worker bees that are just working for the betterment of the hive right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been really consistent. They've got a really good manager in A.J. Hinch. And... He does a really good job of maximizing the talent, and their front office has built a really solid roster that they're a couple moves away from being not just competitive, but having staying power in the AL. And that's awesome for Detroit. I think the rest of the playoffs, they're gonna be fun as hell. Right now you have the Royals and Orioles right now. Kansas City can eliminate the Orioles at home,
which is certainly a weird spot to be. I'm looking at the pitchers for Detroit in this game. Not a single pitcher pitched more than 1 2/3.
Really?
They had Holton for an inning, Hanafy for 1 2/3, Herder for 1 2/3, Breeski for 1 2/3, Job for a third.
Gunther, Job? Job from Arrested Development?
There you go. Gunther for 1 2/3, and Vest for an inning. Not a single pitcher pitched more than 1 2/3.
Well, look at that.
That's weird, right?
No. It's an analytics-driven team. They said it. In it is, we'll throw Skubal and then pray. Hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
Are they probably going to get waxed in the divisional round? Yeah, probably.
They've been the hottest team in baseball.
Yeah, but who gives a rip at this point? Because you're going to a divisional rival, you're going to Cleveland, and a team where you have that much familiarity with, let's go. That could be some nasty weather baseball, and I'm here for it. Cleveland in Detroit, neither one of them in a dome.
The ball just sticking in the mud.
My favorite is like hooded sweatshirt baseball season. It just makes me chuckle every time we see it. And look, you think of all of the places that we're going to have series. L.A., you're going to have great weather there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Philly.
Atlanta, San Diego.
But yeah, Philly, Cleveland, New York. Sign me up.
Yeah, that's some very crappy weather baseball.
Yes.
Hopefully not. Hopefully no rainouts.
No. But San Diego right now, like, they have
the second one hottest team in baseball.
The Braves did this yesterday where Chris Sale, he didn't pitch because, was it an oblique?
Yeah, it's oblique strain.
Or he had back tightness, some tightness somewhere. They started like this young buck and he got shelled. The Padres and the Tigers are two awesome stories of teams that just got red hot at the end of the year and played out of their gourd. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday it was the Braves lost, but it was, I believe, all of the runs scored by the Padres were off home runs, if I remember right. I had that game up. It wasn't like they were just shelling the Braves. It was when they did hit ball, it went far. I saw Higashioka hit an absolute nuke, and I went, oh, they're just going to hit ball far. Look, analytics be damned. Hit ball hard, hit ball far is damn near undefeated. Pitching matters, but, you know, that's where it goes.
Chicks dig the long ball, too. And so do winning teams.
Even with your Astros out, you're still in on playoff baseball, right?
Absolutely. It never matters to me.
Right?
I will watch postseason baseball. It is different when your team is in and you're living and dying with every pitch.
Of which you filmed me last year.
You're hosting a radio show and trying not to drop the F-bomb like 500 times during a game. That's really hard.
Uh-huh.
But it's really fun just to watch postseason baseball because the meaning, you can feel the energy through the television of stadiums, and
the
especially
pacing
for
too.
I like teams like Detroit being in Kansas City and Baltimore because of the fact that it has that energy for franchises that haven't had it in a long time. It's going to be awesome to finally see a postseason game in Detroit again, where they're going to be like, yes, we're back, baby.
It would have been perfect if you could have had like a Kansas City Baltimore ALCS.
Yeah, that would have been
like
great.
Baseball would hate it because of the market sizes and everything, but it would be like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, it'd be cool to have, you know, Detroit, the teams that have been so bad, Detroit, Kansas City, Baltimore. I mean, you're starting to see these teams.
The Mets.
Hell, the Brewers. I mean, you're starting to see these teams that were and have been so bad.
Yeah.
Start to matter again. And it's like, whether it's new ownership or investment in the team or, you know, not trading away every single good player that you get.
Yeah.
Seems to matter. Now, I mean, of course, you're still going to get the Yankees, the Braves, the Dodgers, who are going to spend more money than God.
There is a really tough spot that Milwaukee is in right now. Because, like, if you're a Brewers fan, this is a story that you've seen play out, like, every year.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're good enough in the regular season, you get to the postseason, and you get to the postseason, you're like, we're not good enough to win a World Series. Even if the planets align, we're not good enough. So you get to the postseason, and then
fizzle out.
See ya. See you next year.
No.
It's like being a Blazer fan. Like that Dame era where you're like, God, we're exciting. We're fun. God. We might be able to win a series, but we're never going to win the whole damn thing.
That's a little too close to home. Feels a little rude.
It's the truth, though.
It's fair.
Is it wrong?
No, you're not. Did you see the Dodgers are also downplaying Ohtani pitching in the playoffs?
Don't do that.
Pitch him.
Tell me. No, don't pitch him, but don't downplay it either. Just call Kyle Whittingham and be like, what do you do with Cam Rising every week? We want to do that with Ohtani.
I get up there and I lie through my teeth about it in the least convincing manner possible.
Mm-hmm, yeah, we're going to check him out on game day. We're going to roll him out in a uniform. Like, at this point, like if they were going to go full Whittingham, what they would do is be like, yeah, we don't know.
Then put him out in the pen.
They would announce him as the starter. He'd go and warm up, and then he'd just go and like play in right field. And then they'd bring in the real pitcher and be like, yeah, just wasn't ready to go. Game two, do the exact same thing. Game three, that's what Kyle Whittingham would do here.
I'm kind of for it.
I would, see?
Kind of for it. Just have him do some long toss.
But never pitch him.
Yeah.
Just always like warm him up and then just put him out in the outfield or have him DH.
God. And I don't think there's anything anybody could do about it. I mean, Major League Baseball could probably be mad about it, but...
Yeah, I think, like, maybe Dave Roberts might have his legs broken by somebody from Vegas coming through. But other than that, nothing they could do about it. He just wasn't ready.
Just wasn't ready. Just tried him out. Just wasn't ready to go. Good Lord. All right, that's your biannual baseball check-in?
Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect.
Enjoy.
Well, we're going to be doing more of it.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to be doing more of it now that the postseason's here.
We'll dive into some more, especially now that the Astros are out.
Yeah, exactly. People want to hear about it.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up next year, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before we hand it off to Isaac Asuka here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. Pretty much every single thing LeBron James does is planned and marketed and vetted and workshopped and cleared before it ever happens. That's why he's always on the first page of a book in every picture you ever see. But the Lakers media day, LeBron James is at the Spectrum Sports desk for the media day interview, and in walks his son, Bronny James Jr. And he sat on the desk with LeBron, and it was one of those things where it was one of the very, very few times where I've seen LeBron James in a genuine environment.
Okay.
Publicly. And it was, you could see him trying to hold back the big smile and how proud he was and how happy he was to have his son there.
Just a kid from Akron and you know, his son from L.A.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that we'd ever play together? We had no idea. You know, when I manipulated the entire NBA to make sure that my son could only be drafted by one team and one team only, wasn't ready for the NBA.
But even then, it was still cool.
Cool.
It was even...
But that genuine proudness,
It was like, there was a clip that circulated the other day of Savannah, his mother, playing NBA 2K as Bronny. And you could just see how happy she was to be like, this is our son.
Yeah.
And it was...
That's cool.
You know, for all of the fake BS that LeBron and the Lakers are and have been and always will be, to get that level of, like, just genuine joy and love and pride, and it was, for the 3 minutes that I watched it, I couldn't wipe a smile off my face.
As orchestrated as everything has been in LeBron James' entire professional life,
this was
it was
real.
Genuine
and
it was
tangible.
Real. That's
and
cool.
It was,
that
it
is
was,
really cool.
It was something where I was like, you know what? They're going to beat this story to death. But in this moment, right now, because they're both sitting there on the desk and you could tell Bronny was happy.
Yeah.
And you could tell Bron was happy. And it was cool.
That's one thing that no matter what, if you are a parent, you know that sense of pride and joy every parent has in their kids. And for LeBron to be living that dream that he had kind of manifested... What, when Bronny was a freshman in high school, when he first started talking about, you know, playing until he could play with his son in the NBA, to finally get to that, I can't imagine how proud LeBron is of his son for that moment and getting to that point. It's really cool. That is a really cool moment and a really cool time for him.
Now everything else about the Lakers can go to hell.
See, yeah, we can get back to hating the Lakers now. All right.
It'll be a cool...
I still like LeBron.
Look, when the Lakers come to town, it'll be a cool thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
To see it in person. Because, let's be honest. The idea of a father-son duo in the NBA Like, this is not a normal thing.
Yeah, I can't wait for my son to ask me, when are you going to make the MBA for when I get there? And I'll be like, well, let me tell you about genetics, kid, yeah. Because it ain't going to happen for me.
Hmm. Not going to happen for you. I might want to go talk to Peyton Pritchard about what 5'10 white dudes do to get to the MBA.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I think both his parents are...
His dad played basketball at Oklahoma, right?
I would say his parents, I think, were both D1 athletes.
Heck yeah. So really good.
Even for the little white guys, there's some genetic luck being applied here.
Every athlete in the professional sports they won the genetic lottery, my friend. They won it.
It's useful.
Yahtzee!
Even Muggsy Bogues had like a 50-inch vertical.
Yeah.
Even at 5'2".
Yeah, I think you'd kind of have to if you're that small. Spud Webb, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Useful.
Very useful.
Useful lot.
Useful. All right, that'll do it for us today. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Ice Kid Souk. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Bye.
The strength of my unit.
That made me warm. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.